Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
All right, good morning. Take your Bibles, if you would, and join me in turning to the Old Testament book of Exodus. I believe the information there is in the outline, Exodus chapter 3. And I want to say how grateful I am for the opportunity to be here. I love this church. And one of the best things about being a guest speaker on a Sunday morning is I get to come to the same service two times in a row. And the music is tremendous. I got to listen to all of it, you know. I've already heard the message once. I'm not listening the next time through. But you guys may want to dial in just to make your own evaluation. But, you know, Emerson said if the stars came out only one night a year, we'd all go outside to look at them. But since they come out every night, you know, we don't often go out. And I think what becomes routine and typical in one place would be extraordinary in another place. And I want you to understand that what takes place here on a week-in, week-out basis, it is miraculous. And it may become typical in the sense that that is the norm for here. But let me assure you, this is not typical in that it's not happening every place. You all are blessed. And this is a wonderful church. And one of the reasons I believe it's a great church is because of the person that the Lord has brought here to serve as your pastor, my brother. And I love him so much. He's been a great blessing to me. People always say, do you have any juicy stories on your brother? And no, I've got to tell you, he's just been a great blessing to me, you know. And maybe after the service for a few bucks, I'll see what I can cough up. But in all honesty, he's been just a great blessing. I love him so much. And he called me some time ago and he explained to me, he said, man, we're going to be away at this wedding and it's a joyful time. And still, I was wanting to be at the church on this particular Sunday. And he said, would you come and speak on my behalf? And I said, sure, I'd be happy to. And then his tone changed and he got very brotherly and he said, don't mess anything up, Steve. And so if I mess anything up today, don't tell him, please, all right? And I love this church. I wouldn't want to mess any of it up. And I was glad to have my daughter make the trip up with me today. And she was excited. She wanted to go to Brother Schmidt's Sunday school class. And about 52 weeks from today, I'll be bringing her back, Lord willing, so that she can receive her college education at West Coast Baptist College. And a big part of that education, frankly, is being right in the midst of this church family. And so I'll steal a phrase from my brother and I'll share with you, don't mess it up, all right? Stay on the right track, be faithful, you're being watched and your life is making a great, great difference. Sometimes when we come to church, we hear things that sound good and they're true and they are helpful, but they're things that we're not always sure how to put into practice. And over the years, I've heard, and perhaps you've heard as well, that it's important that we talk to God, that we spend time with God. I've even heard that we need to take a walk with God or go walking with Him. And these are all statements that are true and they're helpful. But sometimes they're statements that are difficult for us to put into practice in our Christian life. Some time ago, my brother had a meeting with some pastors and he called and asked me if I'd come. And I said, for you, I'll come. And I was there. And I did what I often do in a meeting. I look for the corner. I don't know how many weird people there are here today like me, but I like to get in the corner. You know, I know my back's covered and I want to see what's going on, and I'm not the greatest conversationalist. Why God called me to preach, I'm not sure, but I just thought I'd sit in there and I'd watch and I'd observe and just a little bit nervous about it all. And my brother called me over. He said, Steve, come here. He said, do you see that pastor over there? And I said, yeah. And he said, do you know him? I said, I don't know him. I just met him, but I don't know him at all. And he said, you know, he's new to the West Coast. I think he's kind of lonely. And I want you to go talk to him and try to be a blessing to him. Now, again, everyone is a little bit different. To tell me to go talk to someone I don't know, I'd think, well, what would I say? I don't know that person. And if I have something to say, I don't mind saying it, but I'm not the kind of guy that just invents words to come right out my mouth just to kind of make noise, you know. And I thought, what in the world would I say? But I went over and I began to talk, and I was surprised that after some uncomfortable moments for me, I found we had some things in common. And I found that this pastor was a great guy. In fact, years later now, I can go back to that day. That's the day a friendship was started, and we've been able to talk many times since then. Why? Because I took some time to get to know someone. And I believe many times when we as Christians hear we need to talk to God or walk with God, and we hear things like this, we sometimes have a similar feeling that I had when I was told to go talk to someone I didn't know. But let me tell you, when we take the time to get to know God, we're always better off for it. And with God, really it is, to know Him is to love Him. And we'll find that when we understand who God is and when we understand what God does, that we'll have a desire to grow in the time that we do spend with Him. If you're able today and you have God's Word available, I'm going to invite you to join me in standing as we look to the text. It's a text that I do believe can be an encouragement to us. And Exodus chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites." There may have been some parasites there as well. All right, I just kind of got them in there. And verse 9. "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I?" Not a bad question when you think on it. He said, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I'll be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." I want you to go, if you would please, to verse 14 once again. And in my Bible, it's all capital words, capital letters in these words I want us to focus in on. The Bible says, "I am that I am." Our Father, we're grateful today for another opportunity to gather in your house and worship you and study and grow. And Lord, I do pray that you'd use this time for your glory. I thank you for this church, for the testimony they've had for these years. And I pray that you would continue to guide and direct and that they would follow. Thank you for the Bible. Use this occasion now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It was a strange sight, to say the least. We know that burning bushes were really not all that uncommon from what I've read. It wasn't uncommon for a storm to blow across the desert without rain. The lightning would come, it would strike a bush, the bush would burn. But the typical thing is the bush would burn up and quickly it would be gone. But this was different. The bush caught on fire, but it burned and burned without going out. And then Moses saw that, it caught his attention, and he thought he should probably investigate. As he was there, he noticed that something supernatural was happening. And he met the Lord there in the midst of that bush. He had an occasion to get to know God in a greater way. And from that burning bush, God extended to Moses a call to live an extraordinary life for His glory. It was a call to go to Egypt, to lead from those who were in captivity, to lead them to a life of freedom. His response was, "Who am I? God, you want me to do what? God, who am I?" And his point was that he did not feel qualified or equipped for the task. And God promised Moses that he would be with him. And to that, Moses asked, "Well, all right, God, I've asked you, who am I? But let me ask now, who are you? Who are you?" They're going to want to know your name. When they asked me for the name of the one that sent me, what can I tell them? And to that, God said, "I am that I am." It was an amazing statement. The depths, I think, could take a lifetime to plummet. He said, "I am that I am." Perhaps we could say it, "I am that I am." It was a statement where God was saying to Moses that I'm the God of the past. He said in the text, "I'm the father of Abraham." The God of Abraham. He said, "I'm the God of you right in this moment." And friends, this is the same God who is our God today. He's the God who was. He's that I am. He's the God who is. He's with us now. And He's the God that always will be. And as we survey these verses leading up to these words, we find some great insights into the Lord. Some attributes that will allow us to know Him more so we can love Him more. A deeper understanding that will help us to truly worship Him in sincerity, an authentic walk with God. Well, we can learn from the Lord in these first four verses in particular that He says to us, "I am the God who comes to you." Now the passage begins. We find that Moses was working for his father-in-law and he was working as a shepherd. "I am thankful for my father-in-law. I don't know I'd ever want to work for him, and I don't know I'd ever want to be a shepherd. And if I were a shepherd and my sheep were hungry, I don't know I'd want to lead them alone into the backside of the desert." And that's exactly what the Bible calls it. The backside of the desert. Now, I think we're in the desert here. I don't know what would qualify as the backside of the desert. I think that's northeast of Barstow somewhere, but it's way out in the middle of nowhere. Moses is all by himself, and the Bible makes the point that he is alone. And what's interesting to me is, had Moses been commanded to find God, he would have never known where to look. He certainly wouldn't have looked in the backside of the desert. But God, in His grace, came to Moses. Why? Because God is the God who comes to you. It's just in God to do that. We read in Luke 19:10 that Jesus, as the Son of Man, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And friends, we need to understand that without God, we are all lost. There is none of us who is so equipped in and of ourselves that we can make our way to God. We are lost without Him, and God in His grace comes to us. The Bible in Jeremiah 50 and verse 6 says, "My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They've turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." You see, people who have not yet met Jesus Christ as their Savior are lost in their sin. And people who have come to know Jesus Christ have a tendency to wander as a sheep would away from the shepherd. Robert Robinson, who wrote the well-known hymn, "Come Thou Fount," wrote that as a 23-year-old young man. He wrote it as a poem to put at the end of a sermon. And in those words, he said, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." That man was testifying something he knew to be true himself. Having written those words as a pastor, having given testimony to the fact that he sensed that he was prone to wander, he did wander. He wandered away from the place in which God had placed him. He wandered away from the calling that God had put on his life. And if the story that the hymn writers write of that occasion, they say that years later, as an older man, it was the very words that he had written that he heard that touched his heart to remind him how good God is to give us an occasion to come back to Him. You see, that's just how God works. Many years ago, I was having a tough go of it in life, and I've had a tough go of it since that time. But in this particular time, I had some disappointments come my way that weren't my fault. But my response to them was my fault. You see, life is only a little bit about what happens to you. Life is a lot about how you respond to that which happens to you. And I was responding in the wrong way. I was saved as a child of God, but in a sense, lost in that I wasn't sure where I was at in life and where it was that I was supposed to be going. And I remember a pastor from San Diego called me and he said, "Steve, how you doing?" I said, "I'm all right, I guess." He said, "What are you doing these days?" And I was living in the L.A. area and our family had a boat. And I said, "Well, I'm just spending a little time on the boat." And he said to me, he said, "I'm on my way to see you. I'm coming." We met at the boat, and I was excited because I thought, well, I got somebody to go sailing with. This is going to be great. We got there, and we motored out and made our way through the harbor. We made our way out of the breakwater there in L.A. Harbor, and as we got out there, it was the stillest day I've ever seen on the ocean in all of my life. The ocean was more lake-like than I'd ever seen before. Not a ripple, not a breath of wind. Had we bothered to raise the sails, they wouldn't even have rustled. Just as dead as it could be. I'm sure that's the worst day sailing I've ever had. But I'm also sure that that was one of the better days I've ever had in my life. Because while hurting, while going through a time, while sensing a keen awareness of losing my way, so to speak, there was somebody that loved me enough to say, "Listen, I'm not going to tell you to come to me. I know where you are, and I know what it is you're going through, and I know enough about you to know you're hurting, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm coming to you." And he made his way to me, and we sat for a day on a boat. The worthless sail, you can't say how bad the sail was, but there was somebody that came to me. And let me tell you today, your personal testimony can be very similar to that, except the one that came to you was God. A couple thousand years ago, he robed himself in flesh. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfectly sinless life. He was crucified on the cross of Calvary. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. It was only needed a few days. He rose again. And friends, he did all of that to come to you and to me to meet our needs. He's a great God. Sometimes we forget that he's the God that comes to us. But the Bible would reveal that he is also the God who cares for us. He said, "I'm the God who cares for you." God begins to share his heart with Moses. And we find some amazing, amazing truths. We find that God not only comes to us wherever we are and whatever we're into, he knows what we're going through. He knows. Here at the beginning of verse 7, God, as he's just sharing his heart with Moses, he said, "I've surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry." He said, "by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Verse 8, he said, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey." I want you to hear some of the statements that God made and that I wanted to pull out of this narrative. He said, "I have surely seen. I have heard. I know their sorrows. I am come down to deliver and to bring them up." God says here, "I have seen." And he said, "I've heard. And I know. And I've come down so that they can be brought up." Listen, friends. What a compassionate God we serve. Listen to me when I tell you that God not only will come to you, He has a care and a concern and a compassion for your life. And he knows. Those things perhaps even you wouldn't tell others. God knows. He wants to work in your life. Heard a story some time ago of a construction crew. It was kind of a rural area, and they were making a new road, and they were going through cutting down trees, and the man leading the construction crew took note that there was one tree that had a nest in it and some little birds, and he just couldn't quite bring himself to chop that tree down. And he said, "Just mark that tree, work around it, I'll come back later, and I'll cut the tree down." And sure enough, that's what he did. He came back sometime later, and he noticed the birds were gone. He cut down the tree, it fell, and as the tree fell, the nest bounced out. And you know how birds do. They'll get any old thing they can find to build a nest. The little birds were gone, but with the nest there was just different things. And in that nest, when it fell out, a scrap of paper fell out of it. And it was a paper that a little boy had received from Sunday school. And the words on that paper said, "He careth for you." That construction worker thought for a moment. He thought, "Boy, isn't that true? God cared even for those birds. We were getting ready to knock that tree down, but God cared for them." And friends, listen. The Bible does say in Matthew 6:26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Now, I don't want any more trouble than I need today, and I wouldn't want to offend any that are really leaning the environmental type of way, but I want to be clear today that the Bible emphasizes that you are better than a bird. And God does care for birds. It does matter, and God does meet their need. The message for us today is that we have a God who takes note of the difficulties through which we go. He hears the cry of our hearts. He knows of our sorrows, but it doesn't stop there. He wants to get involved in our lives, and He came to us so that one day through faith we could go to Him. He came to us so that we could enjoy His presence in our lives. And that's why Peter in 1 Peter 5:7 said to cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You see, we've all had experiences in our lives of relationships with people who claimed with their words to care, but their actions betrayed their claims. If you've lived any life at all, you all know the pain, as I do, the pain of betrayal and the disappointment that comes. And I want you to know today, we will never have a legitimate claim like that against God. He's always been faithful. He always will be. He keeps His word. He cares enough to get involved in your life. An American writer one time wrote, "Love your neighbor as yourself, but don't take the backyard fence down." And that's kind of how we do it. We stay at arm's distance. We keep the facade up. And I want you to know, friends, that's how we do it. But that's not how God does it. There's no limit. God's care knows no limit. He'll come to us. He'll care for us. And the next thought that emerges in this text is the reality that God conveys, I am the God who calls you. With your Bible's open there, let's look together in verse 10. Something amazing happens here. The Bible says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people." Now, in verse 10, we hear God extending a call to Moses to be involved in the biggest work in all of the world at the time. And he said, "Moses, I'm going to send you unto Pharaoh because I want you to bring my people who are living in captivity out of that bondage. I want them to know the freedom that comes from once again following me." The freedom that we find in God today is a freedom that is to be used to tell others about God. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, we have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." You see, we've been privileged today. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ and you've received the forgiveness of sins, the assurance of a home in heaven, you have been called by God in a similar way in which Moses was. You've been called by God and you've been tasked with the important job of getting the news out to all of the world that there is a better way, that there is freedom to be found in Jesus Christ, that there is value in a life that is lived for God and for God's purpose. God was saying, "Moses, I have some good news for you, and it's so good I don't want you to keep it to yourself. I want you to go ahead and tell others about that." Several years ago, my dad got it in his mind he wanted to have a family reunion in Hawaii. And family, I'm all about it. Reunions, not bad. Hawaii, that's what I'm talking about, okay? But he understood that if he just announced to the family, "Hey, family reunion in Hawaii," nobody would have come. Because, I mean, you got to get there and you got to find a place to stay. And then we're fond of eating when we're on little journeys like this, you know. And that just, it wouldn't have been a good thing. And so with that understanding, what he did was he said, "Here's how it's going to work. I'm inviting everybody in the family. I want all of you to be there. And when you get there, I'm going to take care of your accommodations and I'm going to take care of the meals. And once you get there, it's on me. All you've got to do is get there." Well, I got word and I decided, you know, I want my immediate family to go with me. I've noticed that my wife and my children, they kind of frown on me taking family vacations without them, okay? Especially to Hawaii. Sometimes they get really irritated, you know? And I thought, well, I want them to go with me. This is good news. All we've got to do is get there and everything's taken care of. That's great news. I want them to go. I got on the phone. I called my brothers and I called my sister and, "Hey, man, happy days are here again. We got a family reunion upcoming. Are you going? You need to go. It's going to be great. I want you to be there too." And sure enough, we got together. All we had to do was get there. But God makes the deal even sweeter. He said, "I'll take care of the journey as well. I'll make sure that the airfare, so to speak, is provided." The other day, my wife was traveling, and I had some points with an airline, and I got one of those rewards tickets, a free ticket, we call them. And she called me from the airport. She said, "Honey, they're trying to make me pay for my suitcase, for the baggage." Thought, well, good night. Did they think you wouldn't take anything with you on the trip, you know? Why did they call this a free ticket? And then they're charging you. We went back and forth for a while. And they said, well, you can go. It's just your baggage we're not so sure about. You're going to have to take care of that. I want you to know God not only secures the journey, so to speak. He says, I understand all of you are dragging a little baggage along with you. Just give that to me. I'm going to take care of it all. I'll get you there. And I'll care for the needs along the way. And I'll care for it all when you arrive. You see, there should just be something in all of us that understands that we've been called by God to share that He's the way, the truth, and the life. And that people can be saved forever from the consequence of sin and saved forever into a relationship with God. God calls all who know Him to live the most worthwhile life there is. And I'm speaking of a life that lives for His purpose. We've all been called to give of our time, and we've all been called to give of our talent, and we've all been called to give of our treasure. Listen, God's been called. He's called us rather to give our all for His purpose and His cause. He wants others to know that there's a better way, and He is the better way. And that leads us to the final thought in the text today, where God communicates to Moses by saying essentially, I am the God who completes you. Now, Moses responded probably a very similar way the way any of us would have responded if God said, hey, I've got a special job for you. Okay? He said, me? You talking to me? Do you have the right guy here? He wasn't feeling as though he was the right guy for the job. He was saying, you want me to do your work? And near the beginning of verse 11, he said, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God had a great answer for Moses. And I believe it's for us today as well. Near the beginning of verse 12, we read these words, certainly I will be with thee. In other words, God said, Moses, I got big plans for you. And Moses said, who, me? And God said, certainly I'll be with you. I understand, he says, I'm asking you to do something that you're not equipped to do, but that's where I come in. I'm going to be with you along the way. In our inadequacy, God completes us. You see, we're ill-equipped to do any good thing in life, but God says, I'll certainly be with you. He says, I'm going to be right there with you along the way. In the New Testament, it's stated this way in Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We sometimes rush to the concluding thoughts of that verse where the Lord assures us, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. But the context there reveals that as we go through life, we need to understand that if we have the Lord, we've got enough. We can be content. We can know that when we're walking with God, we have everything we need in life. I'm saying that God can help you to build the marriage that He longs for you to have. He can help you in raising your children, and He can help you in being an influence. I'm saying that God even knows far more about business than any of us do. And God says to each of us today, not only do I call you to the most worthwhile life there is, but certainly, He says, certainly I'll be with you. I'll be with you. In the mosaic of the gifts and talents that we all have in life, there's just something missing. You all have a gift and you all have talents. But what we need is the divine enablement of God. He works through our personality. He works through our gifting. But it is God's power that completes us. You see, without it, we are unable. In Colossians 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Kind of excited for old Matt and Katie getting married yesterday. I'm proud of them. They did good. And I've always kind of looked at Matt and I've seen myself in him a little bit, you know. He's the youngest of four. I'm the youngest of four. And I've just kind of watched him growing. And I know he entertained some of the very same thoughts I did. Being the youngest, the older ones get married, you know. And anytime the family gets together, everybody got somebody but you. Everybody has somebody. I remember thinking, man, one of these days I'm going to get married and it's going to be great. You know, it's just going to be great. Let me tell you something. It's great. It's wonderful. Marriage is a good thing. And I'm sure Matt, he entertained thoughts like that. And I think he's going to come to find out marriage is a great thing. And he picked a good one and all the rest. But, you know, we think of that. And I remember thinking, one of these days I'm going to have children. I can't wait to be a dad. And I've got to tell you, I've had the time of my life being a dad to this point, and I look forward to doing it for many years to come. It's wonderful to be a dad. It adds something to life. I've been listening to my brother talk lately. I'm starting to think maybe one of these days in the very far future, I might even give a shot at being a granddad, you know? He's about lost his mind over Camden all the time, putting pictures up. And I've never seen a guy have so much fun as he's had being a granddad. You know, the relationships we find and make and build in life, they're wonderful. But there's no relationship in life that can bring the perspective and sense that we need apart from a relationship with God. It's been said there's a void in our life that's shaped like God. And all the good things in life can't fill that void. We're just not complete. God says, I'll complete you. I'll do it. We see in our day and age people trying to fill that void with money, and they just cram money in that void and it just doesn't do the trick. With different relationships. Some with addictions of one kind or another, some with good things and some with bad things. But the Bible is emphasizing the reality here that it is God that's needed in our lives. Now, maybe you've tried with your gifts and your personality and with all the good things God's put in your life, maybe you've tried to make it all work. You've tried to make sense of it all. And you've come to the conclusion, it's just not working for me. Let me tell you something. Moses had to learn a time or two in his life that when he tried to do it his way, it didn't work either. But anytime he allowed the Lord to come in, and followed God by faith, he found that what he needed was there, ever present with him. Now the conclusion of this text, it's almost humorous. They go through all this, and Moses basically tells God, God, I'm kind of interested in knowing your name. Because when I go to these people and tell them that God sent me, they're going to say, well, what's his name? And I feel like I should have something to tell them. And God responds by saying, I am. Now that's just really a couple words for us. But that name was so revered that the people of the day, they didn't even say it. They worked around it. In fact, they wouldn't even write the Hebrew of this. They came up with four consonants and just wrote it that way. And they've even argued over the year about which four consonants it was that was used to refer to this name, I am. And when we hear that name, I am, you want to ask the question, what? It seems kind of incomplete. You are, I am. All right, we've got that, but you am what? And God in His love and His grace spent this time and spent years following, letting Moses know a truth that we need to get a hold of today. I'm everything you need. I'm your sufficiency. I'm whatever's lacking in your life. He was saying, Moses, what you need to do is you just need to get to know me and let's go through life together. You see, God comes to you. We couldn't make it to Him. And God cares for you, and God calls you, and God completes you. He tells us, I am. And today I ask, do you know I am?
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.